You're listening to another ambitious EntrepreneurNetwork.com podcast, the voice for entrepreneurs and small business. Now, onto the show.
Welcome to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, daily conversations with Christian entrepreneurs to inspire and empower Christian business owners to walk strongly in their faith, while build a thriving business that honors Him in every way. Now, over to your host, Anne Marie Cross.
And welcome to another episode of the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast. This is episode 59, and I'm your host, Anne Marie Cross, the podcasting queen. Now, I love the question today's guest asks us. It really poses some interesting insights that we're going to dive in deeper. Now, today, the question is our business serving and loving others? And do we let that process transform our company? Our guest today says that a business is a scalable, self-sustaining way of serving and loving others. And we need more marketplace disciples to internalize this and let it transform our companies. So joining me on today's show is Michael Teeson. At Marketplace Disciples, Michael interviews Christian business leaders about how their faith has radically transformed the way they do business. He gets to publish fascinating stories of faith and useful strategies on using business as a ministry. Now on today's show, Michael is going to share three ways to use your business as a ministry. In the end, it's all about relationships, as well as God is a capitalist. Looking forward to diving into each of those topics. Welcome to the show, Michael.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, good. Now, we met on Twitter, and you know, any other business owner, particularly Christian business owner who is sharing stories of other Christian entrepreneurs in the marketplace, I knew that I wanted to get you on the show. I'm sure you've got lots of great insights and stories to share, and it's a pleasure and honor that you're here with us today. I'd love for you to just take the opportunity, if you would, to share, how did you get into it, doing that? Was it something that you've always enjoyed, or was there a seed planted that you thought, this could be a really good opportunity and platform for me to share that message about God's kingdom and the businesses that are being developed?
Yeah, so it was actually, it happened slowly and then suddenly, I would say.
Yes.
So I've, for a long time, been interested in business and have the intention to, you know, one day I would like to go there. I myself am not actually a business owner, so I find myself in a bit of a funny situation here. But
yes.
I was at a faith-based event in my city here, and the one speaker was talking about his challenges being a Christian CEO and dealing with investors and how you have to pray before these board meetings. And I just, through that, I realized all of a sudden these two worlds of my faith and my interest in business suddenly collided in a way that they'd never done so before. And so that just, I knew that there was something there, but I didn't know what it was. So then the following week, I don't know exactly where it came from, but there was this idea of, hey, maybe I could interview other Christian business owners and get their stories out as well. So that, you know, this was something I'd never really heard of before, a Christian telling their story like this. And so, yeah, that's where it all started.
Yes, it's interesting how, you know, often we hear and we observe something that someone has mentioned, and you recognize that that's a need or a struggle that someone is experiencing. And when you realize that other people are struggling with the same issue, and you think, oh, maybe I could provide some form of support or insight or solution, and then all of a sudden, you know, the opportunity or the technology in this case enables you to do that. How long have you been doing this for now, Michael?
Yeah, so I've been doing this for about a year and a half.
Wow.
And so this is, it's something I do on the side, and it's, you know, I have a day job, and so then I've just been slowly figuring out how this whole thing works and how to set aside time each week to work on it and all of that stuff.
Well, fantastic. And look, congratulations, because I know working a full-time job and then what's involved in the organization and behind the scenes of getting these stories out there, recording them, and then sharing them with the world is certainly a commitment. So, you know, fantastic that you do that. What's the biggest lesson that you've learned? Because one of the things that I find it's through interviewing people, you learn so much through the stories being shared. Have you, and you're blessed so often by that. Have you found that as well over the last year and a half?
Yeah. So I think one of the biggest lessons is realizing just how much about people it is. Because I'm a software developer by day, and so I live like in this tech world and read things about, you know, Silicon Valley and all this stuff, and you know, even reading articles online about business, it's always about like the business model and how do you generate more revenue and how do you, you know, all these sort of like these technical things. But then once I've started interviewing people who run you know, everyday people who run these businesses, then I started realizing, well, it's so much of it is not about what business model are you running, but how do you treat the people that you interact with every day?
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? And I think when you look at both of those worlds from the, say, from an IT, if I stand back and I look at some of my colleagues who are in corporate or in a business sense, you've got the IT department and then you've got the human resources department. And both of them have very different requirements, expectations in their role, job functions and so forth. And I think when you recognize that no matter what happens in a business and even in a corporate environment, from how you interact with your team members through how technology can be leveraged to better enhance relationships and vice versa, I think you get the best of both worlds for sure. Has that impacted you? Because, I mean, obviously in IT, my son's in IT, he sits in the back office and he's quite an extrovert. He goes, and then he comes home and he just blurts everything out. You know, it's like, because I haven't spoken to anyone, Mum, I'm in the back office. Do you find that really enables you to have developed the way that you interact with people, your interpersonal skills through having these conversations?
Yeah, so I actually do all of my interviews over email. So at first I attempted to do like a podcast style interview with people, and I'm not sure exactly what it was, but I tried, I think, 3 or 4 times, and it always turned out really, really badly. And so I thought, okay, I know how to email people. You know, I'm quite introverted myself. And so email works better for me. It's something that I would gravitate to. And it also, I think in some ways gives people a little bit more time to think about the questions. So it's just a different format, different style.
Yeah, I like that, because, you know, what often happens is we look at the way other people are doing things, interviewing, and we recognize their own communication styles, our own style. And when we identify the way that we operate the best and we give ourselves permission, no, this is the way that I'm going to interview, then it allows the creation of that content to tap into the best, the best of your skills and strengths. So let's talk about 3 ways to use your business as a ministry. What are the 3 ways? Let's talk about one of them first. What's the top way to use our business as ministry?
Yeah, so I think the most obvious way would be to use it, you know, to evangelize. And so as I've been interviewing people, I sort of, every time I ask the question of how do you use your business as a ministry, and I've sort of seen some patterns emerge, and I don't think I've interviewed enough people to like get, you know, the full spectrum of these things, but you know, one of the ways is just through, you know, sharing the gospel with clients or with employees, you know, in a in a respectful and intelligent way. Mm. And in fact, there was one person I interviewed who her entire, she teaches boards of nonprofits or different organizations, mm-hmm. A style of governance, which is called servant leadership. And so, mm-hmm. so at the very end, she can say, you know, who is a great example of being a servant leader was yeah. Jesus. And yeah. she can actually, and it actually makes sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to add it in her, to her presentation that she's giving. And so that's just, I always thought that was like such a spectacular way that she could integrate the two things.
Yes. You know, it's interesting that you should say that, because, you know, from the interviews that I've had and what I've seen is that, you know, sometimes it's in our actions, our interactions, our conversations, and the way that we react to certain situations, particularly, as we know, business environment, there can be ups and there can be downs. And it's in the real stressful times that it can really give us the opportunity to model the approach that Jesus would have taken. Similarly, how we interact with people can do the opposite too. But it's such a great reminder for us that sometimes we don't even need to say anything. It's just in the way we do business, you know, with integrity and everything that we're encouraged to do. What insights or what feeling, to ask an IT guy about a feeling, not saying that you don't have feelings, but when you think back to kind of the theme that was coming through from those responses, how did it impact the way that those businesses were operating? Because why I ask this question is because sometimes when you feel that only half of you is coming, and as Christians, we know that we to hide our faith, if you will, or not to speak about it in situations where we know it can be helpful, can often feel like only half of us is showing up. So did you get that sense that being able to do that has really just taken everything to a whole new level, and maybe even in the results that they were starting to see generated?
Yeah. So I haven't had too many people talk about that that specifically, but yeah, I would say that there have been a couple who have talked about that, about how they were in a job that didn't quite work, and then God was calling them mm-hmm. towards something else, and then, you know, some crazy events later, they find themselves, you know, all of a sudden they've started this new business and they're yes. thinking, wait, what happened?
Yeah, and it's gone full circle.
And then
circle,
eventually yeah. they realize this is what God was calling them to all along.
Yeah. Sometimes wouldn't it be great just to have the whole manual, the whole play-by-play, step-by-step outline that he has planned for our lives? A lot of times, though, it's not that way, because he wants us to trust and obviously have faith in the unseen, which can be really difficult at times, particularly if you're someone like myself who likes to feel that they are in control. So that's one way, evangelizing, really sharing the love of Christ, of course, in our work and in our business dealings. What's another way that we can use our businesses in ministry?
Yeah, so I've seen a couple of people who use their business as a way of providing for others. And and so the main way would be providing jobs. And so there's this one person I interviewed, Bill Fuchs, who he runs a cleaning company. So he goes to commercial buildings and will do lawn care and clean the building and stuff like that. And mm-hmm. so he has the ability to, when he's looking for someone to hire, he will specifically look for people who are in need of a job and who might not otherwise have an opportunity. And so in that way, he can serve and love others in that way.
Yeah.
So it's really cool.
Wow, that certainly is a fantastic testimony. You know, in some of the conversations that I've had with business owners, Michael, is, you know, the whole money and the love of money and growing kingdom businesses, and that's what we often will come back to that conversation, that as our business grows and we generate more income, we can then reinvest into new team members. And here's this wonderful story of this Christian business owner who actually goes out of his way to employ people who maybe would not be employed if it was left to other organizations. I'd imagine that the impact that he would be having on those people's lives, sometimes they just need someone to believe in them and give them that opportunity, which completely catapults their life in a whole new direction because they've got hope and this possibility. Is that the feedback you got through that?
Not specifically through that interview, but I've talked to a few others who have done similar things, that providing jobs seems to be a pretty common way. And it's something that, I mean, as business owners, that's like such an important thing. You're providing, you know, so much to all of these different families that you're helping out that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here in Australia, and it may be very similar over to in the US as well, is that there is a large portion of business which are small business, you know, small and medium type businesses. And, a number of people, even Christian business mentors, say, imagine if we built kingdom businesses that were thriving and we could lift up the entire, even the government system, because we're contributing back to that, which then can contribute back into the community. More people are employed, more opportunity to give even to developing countries and organizations that work there as well. We can do that when we have kingdom businesses and generate having that abundance and prosperity. So that's the first way. As we said, we were talking about becoming an evangelist. We can do that through our business. The second was employment. And the example I love that was to employ people that typically wouldn't be employed. What is the third one that you've seen through your interviews?
Yeah, so I think there's sort of a spectrum of like being very direct versus, and then very indirect on the other hand. And so obviously like evangelism is very directly as a ministry, but so on like the most or more indirect side of the spectrum, I would say that is using your business not in any overtly religious or spiritual way. Maybe people don't know that, you know, it's owned by a Christian or anyone of faith, and maybe your employees, you know, through talking with you, that's the only way that they find out that you are a Christian, right? And so, I just published an interview with Dave Bilsma, who uses his business has given him freedom. Freed up his time and his some other resources that he has that he can then engage in politics. And so then he can spend the time being a Christian voice in the political sphere. And so his business isn't necessarily directly being a ministry, but it allows him to do this other thing.
Yeah, I love that. There's such diversity in all of those three examples that you gave. And I think it shows that really, no matter what business that we're in, no matter what stage that we're in, there are so many different ways that we can contribute to the kingdom. And whatever, you know, obviously it's between the business owner and God, and we bring that to prayer. But I think that that's true, a balance too. You know, sometimes it's in our actions, and we know that saying, our actions speak louder than words, that how we do business, how we communicate, and we're going to talk about relationships and how important they are. It's how we continue to interact and speak and so forth that can make such a huge impression, I think. You know, one of the reasons why I'm doing this, because I want to give a platform and I want to hang out with other cool Christian business owners, you know, because we can all learn from one another. And when we have the same values and like-mindedness, I think it's fun. Plus, I'm creating all of these friendships that later on in heaven I can continue. So that's what I say as well. You know, sometimes people who may not have ever had the opportunity to step into a church, or even, and let's face it, I mean, there have been some people that really have not been very good ambassadors for Jesus. And that if that's all some people outside of the church know about him, then that to me is sad. You know, we know that we serve and we love an awesome God who loved us so much. And it says in the Bible that his love for us, we only experience a small amount of it on earth, because if we felt the full force of his love, we would feel crushed. You know, we only get to experience that in heaven. But, you know, for some people don't know that. And to me, you know, if someone hears that or sees the way that someone has shared their testimony, where, and we have had that on our show, where people have gone from being a drug addict and, you know, in prostitution, in jail, and just you think, wow, what enormous challenges, their lives have been transformed. Transformed, as we know, can happen with Jesus. And, you know, we don't need to have shame. We don't need to have that guilt and hanging over us. He releases that. He forgives us. And that's one of my reasons, that if someone hears that and sees our interviews, that it see, you know, plants that seed, which of course we know that the Holy Spirit does. We just share the stories. The Holy Spirit does the rest.
Yes.
I think. And to me, that just thrills my heart. Let's talk about relationships, because that's really what we're talking about, isn't it? It's building those relationships. What does that mean to you? And particularly, how are you seeing that play out in the interviews that you've been doing?
Yeah. So I think the one interview where it really hit home was this engineer who, so he doesn't own a business, but he manages these projects that are hundreds of millions of dollars.
Wow.
And so he's got a huge team. And I asked the question, how do you run what you're doing as a ministry? And he said, so to paraphrase him, he's saying, you know, it's easy, because at the end of the day, it's about people, and people are what make a business succeed or fail. And what God is really interested in is the people, and he's not interested in all this other stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that really just kind of like struck me. I was like, wow, that's like a very succinct way of putting that. And so
I've
thought about that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? When you consider being in charge and a steward of hundreds of millions of dollars in projects and people, you know, because each one of those people often will have a family and commitments and so forth. Mm-hmm. So you're overseeing those and creating an environment in which they can contribute their skills, their gifts. And it's interesting. Just yesterday, Michael, I spoke to a gentleman who is in IT. He's balancing his IT with alcohol, and he manufactures and produces, you know, the breathalyzers, and he exports them from Australia into Southeastern countries, Asian, and you know, one of the things that became apparent, and even in his approach, when I asked him the question around how he leads his team, and he said with a very servant leader approach, which is exactly what you're saying, one of your guests, that was how she uses those principles in the workplace. And through that, he was able to build a team that not only worked as part of the normal course of the day, but continued to give extra. Like, I think they had a potential client who was going to fly over from internationally, and they wanted to repaint the whole building and things like that. And the team, the entire company, gathered around and completely painted and got the place looking, you know, spick and span for this visitor. And I think when we go from a leadership approach or viewpoint of putting our team first and creating an environment which, you know, has that integrity and that it feels safe, you know, to share their voice and contribute, that brings out the best in people, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Even my own experience working at different places, different businesses as an employee, I would definitely say that the culture of the company that you that you build makes such a huge difference. It's possibly even like the most important thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned earlier that you were an introvert. You may not believe this or not, but I am actually an introvert as well. In my previous background, I'm just an extroverted introvert. So after I do all of my interviews, I kind of just lock myself away and, you know, quiet silence is just bliss, because that's how we re-energize our energy and recoup ourselves. But one of the things that I learned, because previously my background was in the career industry, and when you look at introverts and extroverts, introverts are all about solid, deeper relationships, aren't they? Rather than, say, the extrovert who might be out there meeting lots of people and things like that. And I think from what you were saying, when you are in an environment where the leader, and this is a good reminder for all of us as we're building and expanding our teams, when an employee feels valued, then you want to give of your best, don't you? You want to contribute to the team and ultimately the goals. Let's talk about God as a capitalist. I know that some people want, what? So what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so I think, so I've been, this is a question that I've been thinking about and asking some people more about recently. And so, really, it is about this cultural mandate that God has given to us about going into the world and taming it and, you know, progressing in culture and in science and economically and building civilization and all of these great things. And and if you look in history, there is nothing that humanity has really figured out that has brought about this human flourishing more so than capitalism. And so as business owners and people involved in business and in the economy, I mean, capitalism is the way in which we operate, and we're, you know, you're very much in the thick of it. And so it's something important. I think it's important to think about and to understand how does that fit with theology, and how do those two things work together? And, are there parts of capitalism that are maybe not so good that we should avoid, or how do we do that? And questions like that I think are important to think about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, where often, and you read back and I'm part of, or I should access the app called First Five, and I can highly recommend it. It's been developed by Proverbs. Proverbs 31.org, and they have a daily scripture and so forth. And one of the studies that they've just recently done is through Kings, 1 Kings, 2 Kings. And it's so interesting that, you know, even back then they would follow God and obviously put God first, you know, and because that's, and through that, when the kings really were committed to that, the entire kingdom flourished. Yet when they turned away, it imploded, and you have these kings that some were followers of God and others not. But it's interesting, because I think when you look at it in a way that God might have created it, I mean, when he, you know, created Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden, it was perfect. God is perfect. There is no sin. But then when we bring in the human aspects or the worldly aspects, I think then that's when we can take it to the extreme, isn't it, where capitalism becomes almost greedy. But imagine if through kingdom businesses you were able to empower others to themselves rise up and become self-sufficient and creators, if you will, in alignment, obviously, with faith. Being able to contribute and have the choice, have the freedom to be able to make a choice. I think that is where it's exciting. And I think that's where kingdom businesses are really encouraged to go. Yes, build kingdom businesses, flourish, be prosperous, be abundant, and thinking of how God intends us to be, how can we continue to show that and share that with the world to empower? Because sometimes, you know, even with governments, I mean, this is a whole other topic. Sometimes giving handouts and things like that actually disempowers people because, you know, you have given a choice. I mean, how good does it feel at the end of the day when you know you've done a good day's work, you've contributed, and you feel part of a valued society? I think that can make an incredible difference. So that's a really interesting question, one I'd not thought about before, but certainly worthy of discussion and various thoughts. So I thank you for opening that up. So for people who would like to read through some of the interviews that you've done, and they sound fantastic, how can people reach out and connect with you, Michael?
Yeah, so the website is marketplacedisciples.com, and I think that's just the best place to reach me at.
Fantastic. Now, one of the things that I'm doing for all of my guests, Michael, I'd be honored to do this for you too, is just say a word of prayer as we finish up the show. May I do that for you as well?
Sounds good.
Fantastic. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to speak with Michael, and we really can see his heart-filled compassion to bringing out these stories of other disciples building kingdom businesses. Father, sometimes business is really difficult. There are challenges, but we are reminded that you already have mapped out a path and how important it is for us to remain close to you, seeking your advice, seeking your wisdom, so that we can continue to create kingdom businesses that honor you as they continue to support communities and societies. Father, I just want to pray for your continued blessing on Michael in the work that he does, but also too in the work that he continues to do to bring those stories out into the world. And we thank you again for the opportunity, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been an absolute blessing. And, you know, if you've got some of the incredible guests that you're speaking with and that you're interviewing, send them our way as well. We would love to feature them as we have today. I think with the technology, and you would know this being in IT, the technology that we are able to access has just made the world so much smaller, which is good in one way, a good thing, but another way, there's good and bad to all of that, isn't there? But in this instance, it's great to be able to connect with other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. So thank you for your time, and thanks for spending some time on the show today.
Yeah, thank you.
You've been listening to the Christian Entrepreneurs Podcast, brought to you by BeTheDifferenceMovement.com, changing the world one message at a time. Do you feel called to influence real change with your message? Join our supportive community of like-minded influencers, thought leaders, and disruptors at www.BeTheDifferenceMovement.com. That's BeTheDifferenceMovement.com.